Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. If you're a baseball fan like me, even games played in front of cardboard cutout fans and with canned sound through the system at the stadium, better than no baseball. And I've enjoyed watching a number of games over the past 5 days. But the question is, with a number of positive COVID-19 tests among members of the Miami Marlins and postponement of their games and other games in Major League Baseball, is this going to curtail the planned 60-game regular season? With us is national baseball writer for the Wall Street Journal, Jared Diamond. Jared, so good to have you with us again. First of all, what's the latest on the count of positive COVID cases among the Marlins?
Well, there were four new positive cases today based off a round of testing from yesterday. So that brings the total among players and staff to 17 positive cases just in the last 5 days. Now, not all of those are players, but the roster is 30 men. So that means roughly half the team is now positive for coronavirus. So this is really a nightmare situation for baseball, and it took all of one weekend to end up in this position.
So the Marlins home opener against the Orioles called off. Has today's game been postponed yet?
It has. And in terms of the Marlins, at least for the foreseeable future, they're not going to be playing games. The situation has not been fully settled yet, but the current thinking is that the Marlins will probably be shut down through this entire week in the hopes of returning on Monday, if possible. But for sure, they're not going to be playing today, and we don't know when they're going to be playing next or with whom they're going to be playing next.
Well, and how would you, in a two-month-long season, make up those games with very few days off unless they were going to have to play several doubleheaders to make those up?
Yeah, doubleheaders are certainly an option, but I think what this weekend has already shown to baseball and others is that, you know what, if not every team gets 60 games in, then not every team is going to get 60 games in, and we're just going to have to deal with it. None of this is normal. This is a very, very strange situation. We have no idea if they'll even be able to finish this season at all. So having all 30 teams get in 60 games really just isn't the priority as much as it was even a week ago. Now it's just, can we get to the finish line at all?
The other factor, of course, isn't just the one team that has significant numbers of positive tests. It's who they most recently played. And we saw this, right, with the Yankees, who would have been in that same clubhouse that the Marlins used just last weekend. So we've had other games postponed.
Yes, the Yankees and Phillies were postponed yesterday for that reason. And their game was postponed as well today. Now, the one that was postponed today was really out of an abundance of caution. The Phillies were all tested for coronavirus yesterday. Those returned with no new positive cases among any players or coach. However, as we know, as we've learned, that positive tests don't always show up after just 2 days or so, which is how long it's been since the Phillies and Marlins last played. So everyone decided it's probably in the best interest of everybody to wait a little bit longer to ensure that no positive cases pop up with the Phillies. And that is really important, because what baseball is hoping right now is that this is an outbreak that is contained to one clubhouse, the Marlins. They believe, they hope, they are crossing their fingers that because baseball is sort of a naturally socially distant sport, because it's mostly played outdoors, there isn't going to be any sort of on-field transmission from one team to another. And so far, that's the case with the Marlins and the Phillies. If that remains true, that would be good news for baseball, given the circumstances. If not, and we end up with positive cases for the Phillies, we have a big problem.
We're talking with Jared Diamond, national baseball writer for the Wall Street Journal. His most recent book, Swing Kings, the inside story of baseball's home run revolution. If you have questions for him about the Major League Baseball season, which just started with a pair of games last Thursday night, including the Dodgers and Giants at a fanless Dodger Stadium, Now we're just 5 days into this truncated season already. The Miami Marlins have been sidelined as a result of double-digit COVID-19 cases. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. One of the things I've noticed just, looking at camera shots of the dugout or where players are in the bullpen or the areas set up for relief pitchers right above the bullpens, most of the time it seems the players are engaging in some degree of social distancing, but it's not exclusively that way. And Jared, do you know if the league has attempted to reinforce some of those masking and distancing rules?
Yeah, I think everyone who watched games this last weekend saw that the protocols were certainly not followed when it came to high fives and mask wearing and things like this. So baseball has said they're going to really crack down on it now. It has to be enforced. But ultimately, the reality is these teams, no matter what they do on the field, they're still going to be spending time in the clubhouse. They're still going to be on buses. They're still going to be on flights together because baseball is not pursuing a bubble plan the way the NBA is. So it's just going to be really hard to stop teams from sort of being together. And that's what we've seen with the Marlins, that it just was so hard once it got in to keep it from spreading around the whole room.
Jared, has any Major League Baseball official talked even privately about what would be the event or series of events which would cause this season to be canceled?
Well, look, there's no magic number to that. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball yesterday, went on MLB Network and said that, a team or two that has lost so many players that it's rendered completely non-competitive would be reason to shut things down. I think at this point, baseball's hope is just sort of to play some scheduling bingo, move games around, reschedule games. One thing being talked about now is have the Yankees go play the Orioles for a couple of days because suddenly there's just sort of flexibility on the schedule that way with the Marlins and maybe the Phillies out. That's still the hope. But if we get to a place where there's multiple teams that end up the way the Marlins are, I just don't see there's any ethical way that baseball can continue.
Jared, thanks so much as always. Really appreciate your spending time with us on Air Talk.
You got it. Thanks.
Thanks, Jared Diamond, Wall Street Journal national baseball writer. Again, his latest book, Swing Kings, the inside story of baseball's home run revolution. Coming up, we talk with Los Angeles Times' Tanya Ganguly. She covers the Lakers, and she's reporting from inside the NBA bubble in Orlando at that big Disney sports complex. The scrimmages between teams have been underway for the past few days, and Thursday the season gets underway with the Lakers and Clippers playing each other in Orlando. We'll find out from Tanya what's going on inside the NBA bubble back in 1 minute. So good to have you with us this morning on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Coming up next hour, our daily update on COVID-19. We'll talk with Dr. Kimberly Schreiner, infectious disease specialist at Huntington Hospital in Pasadena. She'll be taking your questions. That's just ahead next hour on Air Talk. But right now, with us to take your questions is Los Angeles Times Lakers reporter Tanya Ganguly, reporting from inside the Orlando NBA bubble. Tanya, good to have you with us. First, describe what it's like being inside that somewhat hermetically sealed world.
It's very strange. I think we're all kind of getting used to it, but I was just saying to someone today that if everybody follows the rules, I'm going to go almost 2 months without like physically coming into contact with another person, like a handshake or a hug or anything like that. And that's a weird thing to think about. The players are kind of in a separate area from where the reporters are, so it's a little bit. It's a little bit separated that way, but when we're in games, when we're so close to the action that it's actually the games are actually very fascinating and a lot of fun to be at.
Yeah, I've watched some of the scrimmages that have been shown of the Laker and Clipper games, and it's interesting because it's almost like particularly elaborate, gym that you're watching the games in without any fans in the stands, almost like studio games.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very different, from what I understand, it's a very different experience when you're at the game, because being in there, if, at least for the first two scrimmages, they were not pumping in crowd noise. They were simply letting the games happen, and there would be the occasional, there'd be music, and there'd be the occasional defense chant, but mostly you were just hearing the teams. And that was so interesting to hear, especially covering the Lakers. From what I gather, they have been the loudest team of anyone during their scrimmages. And it's just really interesting to hear what that's like from up close.
Yeah, and what does that consist of? Like, talking about defensive positioning or encouraging each other, what are the things that you typically wouldn't hear that the crowd noise would cover up?
We're hearing LeBron James call out every defensive assignment. We're hearing him trash talk with other players, call out their weaknesses when that other player can hear it, which you have to think is also a mind game he's playing.
These are just scrimmages too, not real games.
Exactly. You hear the Lakers bench cheer for each other and what their nicknames are and how they, somebody described it as they seem like a youth baseball or youth softball team. Like they're just so into those little like inside jokes and cheers. So you get to see all that. And it's pretty fun.
I'll bet. We're talking with Tanya Ganguly, who is the LA Lakers. She's beat reporter for the Lakers for the Los Angeles Times. You have questions for her about the Lakers and Clippers in Orlando. We're at 866-893-KPCC. Lou Williams, former Laker, now plays for the Clippers. A terrific player and particularly scorer, was excused to attend a funeral of someone close to him. And then apparently he's admitted now he got takeout food from a strip club in Atlanta. Who knew strip clubs had menus that were so compelling that he would do that? But he's now facing 10 days of quarantine in the bubble.
Yeah, that's been the food at Magic City has been a hot topic in the bubble for the past few days.
Must be great.
Apparently it is good. I've never been myself, but he's got a 10-day quarantine. I mean, that was another really big topic of discussion. Everywhere I was going, people were kind of talking about that and wondering, like, what is this going to look like? Because on one hand, Lou Williams did get permission to leave, and he did get, his absence was excused. But on the other hand, the Kings, Rashawn Holmes, like, he made a mistake and just walked across the street and got a 10-day quarantine. So I think their concern was that Lou might have been around somebody who was compromised, and that if he was then compromised and he came back in and infected somebody else, then suddenly you have a potentially terrible situation like has happened in baseball.
And what's your sense of the players' degree of anxiety about this? I mean, setting aside they're separated from their families, from their closest friends, there's that level of lack of emotional or physical connection. But anxiety about the virus itself, what's your sense of that?
I think it depends on the person. The people that have had it and that have had a hard time with it, which there are some players that everyone always talks about how this virus is no big deal if you're young and healthy. But I think what's been made clear is that that's not always true. And so the people that have been through it and have had a difficult time with it, I think they're much more on high alert. I think also the fact that they really want to be able to finish this season, there's a lot of reasons why. And so I think there's an added level of vigilance because of that. And what the NBA has done by making Lou Williams quarantine for 10 days, that's probably going to be a good deterrent, because now Lou's going to miss two games that do count. And I know players absolutely won't want that to happen once they get to the playoffs and, the games become even that much more important.
Tanya, just in closing, your personal thoughts as a professional being in a bubble like this yourself and not able to see the usual people that you would in your personal life. Any trepidation about, going a couple, potentially a couple of months like this?
I do. I mean, what I mentioned earlier, that I'm going to go, you know, almost 2 months without coming into contact physically with another person. Like, I know there's research that's been done about how that's really hard for people psychologically. So I am interested to see how I am able to handle that. You know, there's a lack of choice here on a lot of things because the NBA has kind of set up everything, and we've agreed to do this. We've agreed to have our temperature taken every day, to be tested for coronavirus every day, you know, to eat the food that they're providing for us every day. And so that's also another of those human elements that psychologically can be tough. So, you know, I am sort of paying attention to all that from my own perspective, but I do also really appreciate this assignment.
Yeah. Well, and it gives you a lot more than the typical to report on, too, because those of us that read, you're going to be interested in hearing your personal reflections on that, too. Tanya, thank you so much. Really appreciate your being with us. And we wish you all the best.
No problem.
Thank you. Tanya Ganguly, Los Angeles Times reporter. The Lakers are her beat.